Sometimes this sermon on Stewardship Sunday is called the Sermon on the Amount. But I am not going to be talking directly about money today. Dwelling together in this moment, dwelling together. It is, I think, I forgot to count, the fourth line of the church covenant that we say almost every week. And in this moment, dwelling together in this moment, the fierce urgency of now that many of us are feeling to do something. The transformational worship theme for March is trust. More specifically, the practice of trust. And the question that we are encouraged to ask each month, how does the practice of trust call us to embody liberating love? You get to choose if that's what you want to do as an individual, of course, since we're a non-creedal, non-dogmatic faith. But I'm guessing if you are here, love is important to you. If we are to keep liberating love at the center of who we are as individuals and as a congregation, as people of faith, as humanity, and as we dwell together as individuals, as a congregation, as humans, I believe that trust is essential. If we are to dwell together in these days, we must trust each other. And maybe we must trust in life itself if we are to survive. In her writings about emergent strategy and pleasure activism, author Adrienne Marie Brown offers principles for the strategy of emergence. And one of those is moving at the speed of trust. Sometimes we joke here about moving at the speed of church. It can move slowly, which is often a good thing, albeit frustrating at times, right? But like moving at the speed of church, moving at the speed of trust, it doesn't have to be slow. The more we trust, the faster we can move together. Brown lists several ways to dwell together in trust. Trust the people who move towards you, she says. Trust the people who move towards you and already feel like home. In nearly every new member gathering, which we did yesterday, there's usually more than one person who says, UUCL just felt like home. And some of those folks made that decision when they were online, before they had even been in this building. Trust the people. Who are moving toward you and feel like home. Trust the people to let you rest. Remember that choir trick of letting others hold the note while you take a breath, and then you come back in on the note while someone else takes their breath? Trust the people to let you rest. Trust the people to do everything better than you could have imagined. Together, we are more than one of us is alone. To close some gatherings, we sit or stand in a circle and we say, I put my hand in yours so that we can do together what I cannot do alone. Trust the people to do everything better than you could have imagined. Trust the people and they become trustworthy. The practice of emergence notices the way small actions and connections create complex systems, patterns that become ecosystems and community and societies. The focus is on relationships and connections that foster trust in each other and the community that is created. Trust the people and they become trustworthy. Trust that the people are doing their work to trust themselves. Trust that each breach of trust can deepen trust or clarify boundaries. Trust the people who revel in pleasure after hard work. I hope that Jenna and Alan and Nicola and Ken Kirk are reveling this week. That was hard work that you did. Trust the people who let children teach or let children remind us how to emote, be still, and laugh. Trust the people who let children. Trust the people who see and hold your heart. Trust the people who listen to the whales. Pay attention to the crows. Trust the people, and you will become trustworthy. Trust the people and show them your love. Trust the people. Trust the people to know what is best for them. There's a children's book titled Don't Hug Doug. You can hug a pug, you can hug a bug or a slug, but don't hug Doug. He doesn't like it. Most of you know already I'm a hugger, but I won't if you tell me that you aren't, or that in that moment you just aren't feeling it. Just tell each other though. You have to ask, you have to check in. We dwell together by trusting each other to know what works for us in the moment, by respecting each other's bodily autonomy. We can trust each other to know which pronouns we want to use, and we can respect each other by honoring those. Yes, will we make mistakes? Yes, we will make mistakes, and we just keep trying because it deepens trust, remember? But we can't say it isn't important because it isn't important to me personally. We can say, if it's important to you, I will do my best to honor that. We dwell together as individuals, and we dwell together as community. There are things that make community work. Unitarian theologian James Luther Adams reminded us that church is where we practice what it means to be human. Part of that is learning when to say yes and when to say no as a community. Yes to those things that deepen the gathering, cultural grounding, local welcome, clarifying questions, learning in real time, suggestions to slow down. Yes, we say to those things. No to manipulative efforts to quiet others, to stopping the process. No to pontification. No to ignorance. Yes to singing. Yes to bio breaks, the bathroom, fresh air, snacks, self-care. Yes to ending early when the group has run out of energy for the day. Yes to talent shows and parties and efforts to synthesize. No to judgment, delays. No to circular conversations and people who are rejecting the process. Dwelling together as a congregational community means we choose the health of the system. We practice healthy boundaries and do our best to communicate clearly with each other. The rest of that dwelling together line of the covenant reads to dwell together in peace. But I will tell you that as the theme was chosen for this year's pledge drive, being all zen and blissed out was not where everyone was feeling it. There was a fighting spirit, a sense that dwelling together in this moment calls for boldness and courage if we are in bodies and minds that allow us to do that. And recognizing that there may be risk involved in being bold and courageous and choosing to do those risks. And speaking up for what we believe and know to be true, that all are worthy of love and dignity, that all deserve a place at the table, that we thrive in community and not alone, that social justice is worth fighting for, that people we love and even those we don't know personally are worthy of our boldness and our courage. To stay human in the face of collective psychosis. That's the way I heard it phrased this week. To stay human in the face of collective psychosis. That is this moment. There's a story making the rounds on social media from a 1980 memoir called The Fall of Fortresses by Elmer Bindener, who flew a World War II mission in 1943. A U.S. bomber over Germany was hit by explosive ordnance directly in the fuel tanks 11 times, but none exploded. The plane did manage to land, though much battered. And after the shells were cut open to see why they didn't explode, they were found to have no explosives in them. But one of them contained a note written in Czech that said, "This is all we can do for you now." Somehow, in the midst of what could have only been horror, the people forced to make these shells made a choice to stay human. I don't know if the story, that event really happened. People on Reddit are arguing about it. But I know that the story is true. Do you know what I mean? The story is true. I have to believe that we remember what it means to be human, and that our dwelling together in community and as community helps us hold on to that humanity that is so needed right now, and to care for each other here and all over the world. Reverend Mark Morrison Reed writes, "The central task of the religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all. There is a connectedness, a relationship discovered amid the particulars of our own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, it inspires us to act for justice. It is the church that assures us that we are not struggling for justice on our own, but as members of a larger community. The religious community is essential, for alone our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen, and our strength too limited to do all that must be done. Together, our vision widens and our strength is renewed." And Reverend A. Powell Davies, who is the minister at All Souls Church in DC from 43 to 57, wrote, "I come to church and I would whether I was a preacher or not, because I fall below my own standards and need to be constantly brought back to them. It is not enough that I should think about the world and its problems at the level of a newspaper report or a magazine discussion. I have my conscience sharpened until it goads me to the most thorough and responsible thinking of which I am capable. I need to be reminded that there are things I must do in this world." Crows. Did we call them, or were they already there? I just trust the people who watch the crows, right? "It's not enough that I should think about the world and its problems at the level of a newspaper report or magazine discussion. I must have my conscience sharpened until it goads me to the most thorough and responsible thinking of which I am capable. I need to be reminded that there are things I must do in this world, unselfish things, things undertaken at the level of idealism. Workaday enthusiasms are not enough. They wear out too soon. I want to experience human nature at its best and be reminded of its possibilities. And this happens to me in community, in the congregation. In a congregation, we share each other's spiritual needs and reinforce each other. In a congregation, we share each other's spiritual needs and reinforce each other. In some ways, the soul is never lonelier than in a church service. Yet it is a loneliness that has strength in it. Perhaps this is because the innermost solitude of the human heart is in some paradoxical way a thing that can be shared, that must be shared, if the spirit of love is to find a full entrance into it. We meet each other as friends and neighbors anywhere and everywhere, but we seldom do so in the consciousness of our soul's deepest yearnings. But in church we do, in a way that protects us all from that is intrusive, yet leaves us knowing that we all have the same yearning, the same spiritual loneliness, the same need of assurance and faith and love. We are not merely an audience. We are a congregation. I doubt whether I could stand the thought of the cruelty and misery of the present world unless I could know, through an experience that renewed itself over and over again, that at the heart of life there is assurance that I can hold an ultimate belief that all is well. At the heart of life, there is an assurance that I can hold an ultimate belief that all is well. And this happens in church. Life must have its sacred moments and its holy places. The soul will always seek its nurture. For religious experience, which is life at its most intense, life at its best, is something we cannot do without, and that we cannot do without each other. A. Powell Davies. As we dwell together in this moment, may we generously support our highest aspirations. We will definitely make mistakes, and we can also make repair. We trust each other to do that. Right. We also get many things right. All is not lost. We may fail to reach our highest aspirations, but we will reach something important to all of us in the dwelling together in this moment. We have each other and every other person who walks through the doors of this congregational community, wherever those doors may be. It's a good place to be right now, to know that we have this to count on, to trust, to hold in our need for belonging, for connection, for sanity, for humanity, for love. May we live fully into this promise and the practice of this congregation and this faith. Amen, and blessed be.